Okay, Zohar the Gemara, Daf Mem, Gimel, Omed, Aleph. Omalei Rav Chista on the first wide line towards the bottom. Omalei Rav Chista, Rav Yitzhak. I think we can try and cover some ground today. It's not difficult Gemara. Some of the translations are a bit tricky, but the lomdus of the Gemara is not difficult. Omalei Rav Chista, Rav Yitzhak. Hai Mishcha Da'afar Samoin. Mishcha always means oil. So the Afar Samoin is something that we mentioned already. How did we translate Afar Samoin? Balsam, I think.
It's the wood in the house of noble people.
Right. So here we're talking about not the wood itself, but rather the oil which comes from it. Mai Mavarach in Ilave. What bracha would you make over it? As Rashi points out, two words, Al Reichoi, on its smell. We're not talking about eating it. We're talking about smelling it.
Is it not talking about when it's immersed in oil, that the oil absorbs the smell? I don't think it's the oil itself. I don't know if the wood has an oil.
Balsam oil is the sap which exudes from the balsam wood.
Oh, okay.
One chat. Alternatively, balsam oil is manufactured by submerging balsam wood in another type of oil which absorbs eventually the scent of the wood. Right, so it's one of the two. Shoten, Mi'iri, or the Ritva. So either way, this oil, when you smell it, what bracha is it? Amalei, Hachi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Boirei, Shemen, Arzeinu. Very interesting. You make reference to the fact that it comes from Eretz Yisrael, says Rashi. Shemen Arzeinu, Shahoya, Godel, Bi'erichai. Because it grew in Yericho, which is in Eretz Yisrael, in fact. Va'al Shem Horeach. That's why Hoysanikre is Yericho. That's why the town Yericho is called that, because Yericho, the Sheirish, is the word Reach. Vahu Panag. And this is the place that is also referred to elsewhere in the Novi as Panag Ha'omor B'Sefer Yecheskel. If you look at the Pasuk in Yecheskel, there it says Yehuda V'Eretz Yisrael Heimer Reichlaich B'Chiti Monisu Panag. And there is a reference to what we are talking about over here. Kachra Isi B'Sefer Yosef Ben Gurion. Okay. So, Rav Yehuda was of the opinion that what bracha do you make? Boirei Shemen Arzeinu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the oil of our country, Eretz Yisrael. Omalei Bar Minei de Rav Yehuda. Ignore Rav Yehuda. Don't bring me a proof from Yehuda. Why? De Chaviv Alei Eretz Yisrael. Because he has a special Chavivus towards Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he is inclined to make mention of Eretz Yisrael in the bracha. But l'kula alma, my. But for everybody else who perhaps doesn't have this extra special affinity towards Eretz Yisrael, so what would the bracha be? Don't bring me a proof from Rav Yehuda, because we know that Rav Yehuda is keen to make mention of Eretz Yisrael. So what would everybody else make? Which bracha? So he answered, Amalei, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Boirei Shemen Orev. A special bracha for smelling this pleasant, fragranced oil. Boirei Shemen Orev. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating pleasant tasting oil. Says Rashi, Bar Minei de Rav Yehuda, Al Tovi Li Raya. Do not bring me a proof, Midvarov, from his words, Bezu, in his matter. Because he has special chavivas of Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rav Ada Ba'avo, back into the Gemara. Hi, Kasharta. What's Kasharta?
Some sort of spice.
They translated over here as Costus. Costus is one of the spices that actually went into the Keteres. The question being, what bracha do you make over it? Says the Gemara. Mevarchin ilave boire atse besomim. So presumably it's a spice that grows from a tree. Avol mishcha kevisha. But if it is the oil in which this koshet, in which this kasharta is submerged, then the oil, however, is different. Loi. Then you would not make a bracha of boire atse besomim. Why not? Says Rashi. kasharta koishet. Mishcha kevisha, shemen, sheboy, in which tomun hakoishet. The koishet is submerged. V'hashemen meiriach min haboisem shabasoichoy. And now the oil gives off an odor because of the boisem, because of the spice which is in it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have any eitzim in the actual oil. That's why you don't make a bracha b'riatzim samim loy. Why not? Oil sins ve'ein nire le'ineinu elo hashemen. Because the only thing that appears to our eyes is the oil. You can't actually see any remnant of the original eitz. And therefore, you don't make a bracha of b'riatzim b'samim. That was the first opinion. Rav Kahana Omar, that no. Rav Kahana says, afilu mishcha kevisha. Even on mishcha kevisha, even on the oil, even though you cannot actually see the wood there, but nonetheless, you still do make a bracha of b'ri atzei b'samim, although I would admit, avol mishcha t'china loy. What's mishcha t'china? Says Rashi, the very last Rashi, shetochnu boy kasharta. Where the kasharta has been ground up, which means that the original is completely dissipated. The original, not only is it not here, but it doesn't in fact exist anymore because it's being ground up. It's a bit similar to when you take a fruit and you ground it up. You don't say Boyer Prio Eitz anymore because it no longer retains its original form. Nahardoi Omi, a third opinion, afilo mishcha tchina. That even if it's ground up, you do say b'riatzei b'samim. So it seems to be a machlokes over here. How far do we trace back to the original eight? Says Tosfos, before we turn the page, mishcha kevisha, pirush Rabbeinu Chanan al shamanu mirabbi yisenu, shekoivshim sumsamin. They used to write, exactly. They used to be koivish pickle or immerse shumshamin, which is sesame, uvered and rose, va'atzei besomim, together with this atzei besomim. That's what we are discussing. Zman meruba, for a long time. V'koiltin ha'sumshamin reyach shel besomim. And the sumshamin, the sesame, absorbs, exactly, koilet means it absorbs the reach of the besomim, v'soichatim, and you squeeze them, v'toichna meisim, you ground them, v'yesh boi reach shel besomim. That's what mishcha kevisha is. Or mishcha t'chino is korayv l'tchinosoi, close to its grinding, noistim aleim atzei besomim. You put atzei besomim on them, v'einoi koilet kol kach hareach. But it doesn't absorb as much taste, and that's why we are categorizing it as a different type, and that's why there might be a difference. One will be b'ri atzei besomim because it really does absorb the real smell of the eitz, and the one that absorbs less of the smell, perhaps not so. Okay. Omar Rav Gidl, we're going to try and move forward in this Gemara because, as you can see, it's not such an involved Gemara. Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav. Hi, Simlak. Rashi says, Yasmin, Jasmine. Koirin Loi, says Rashi, Beloshen Yishmael. That's what we call it in Arabic, in Loshen Yishmael. For who? What exactly is it? It's a min asev. It's some sort of grass. Sheyesh boy sholosh shurois shel alin. It has three rows of leaves, zu lemala mizu, one above the other, v'shloisha alin, and three leaves, lekol shura. So it's nine altogether. Three rows of three leaves, nine altogether. That's what this plant is, and presumably it has a nice smell. So says the Gemara, hi simlak, mavarchin ilavei. What bracha would we make over it? In other words, its smell. Boire atzei. Besomim, again, because it comes from an eitz.
But Rashi says it's an esef.
It's an esef. So the question is, why do you not make boire isve besomim? So let's carry on two more lines and we'll see. Omar Rav Hananel, Omar Rav, Hani Chilfi Dimo, Daima. What is that? Rashi says, Boisem Shekoirin Ashpig. A different type of spice. The Shiboiles Nerd. Shiboiles Nerd, which we make mention of every day. It's also in the Keteires. The Osui, and it is made Ke'en Givoile Pishtom. Like flax seeds, the Ashkechon Givoilin the it creates, because we find that Givoilin are also called wood, and that's why the Gemara says that this Chalfi Dima Vorchin Alayu Boire Atse Besomim, because it is considered an eitz. Omar Mar Zutra. How do you know? In other words, they're not real wood. So who says we can even classify them as wood, as trees, which means that they have a brach of atzei besomim? So the Gemara brings a pasuk because it says v'hi ha'elosam hagone hagogo vatitmenim bepishtei ha'etz, and she brought them with rochav. She brought them up to the roof and hid them in the woods of flax. So you see that pishton is considered an eitz, even though it's not a real tree. So therefore you see that anything that has some sort of stalk is referred to as an eitz. So that's why this Simlak and the Chelfadaima, because it has a stalk, even though it's not a full-blown tree, but it's enough to be classified as an eitz, and that's why the bracha is Boire Atze Besomim. Fine. Now, says the Gemara, Rav Masharashia Omar, Hai Narkum de Ganunisa. Rashi says, Narkum Chavtzeles Hashorin. What's Chavtzeles Hashorin? A rose. That's what Chavtzeles Hashorin is. Bahag. So it depends. If it is the Ganunisa, if it is the one that grows in the garden, then Mavorchen Elave, Boire Atze Besomim, because apparently they have stalks. And if they have stalks, as we've just established, anything that has a stalk, the bracha is Atze Besomim. If, however, it is the Davra, what does that mean? It doesn't grow in a garden, but rather it grows in the wild. Then we say Boire Isve Besomim. Why? Because apparently they don't have stalks. In fact, the Rishonim explain that they have a very soft stem. And if they have a soft stem, that's not classified as a stalk. And we've already said, albeit, that anything has a stalk can be considered a tree. And that's why I make a brach of Atzei Besomim. But this doesn't even have a stalk. So which means, coming back to the top Rashi, when Rashi says it's a min esev, in the very top Rashi on the page, so you have to say, even though it's a min esev, but because it has a stalk, that's why it's classified as an eitz, and that's exactly the chiddush. Okay, first wide line. Omer Rav Sheshes, Hani Sigli, Rashi says, Vailush, violets. A violet, Mavorchen Oleo Boire Isve Besomim. Again, what does Isve mean? Grass or herbs. Because again, presumably it does not have any solid stalks. Omar Mar Zutra. Hai man de Moirach Beesroigo Oi Bechavusha. Now we're talking about plants or fruits. If somebody smells an esrog or a quince, I think is the correct translation. So Oimer Baruch Shenosan Reach Toiv Bepeiros. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for placing a nice good taste, good smell, a good aroma in these fruits. Now we move off the subject a little bit. Omer Rav Yehuda, Hai man de nofik. Somebody goes out b'yomei Nisan, in the days of Nisan, v'chozi ilone de komelav levi, and he sees fruit trees which are blossoming in bloom. So he makes a special bracha, and this is the bracha we make once a year, the Birkas Hoilonis. And he says, Baruch Shalei Chiser Ba'ilomai Klum. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created a world in which nothing is missing. Ubara Ba'i Briyais Toivais V'ilonis Toivais, and he made good creations and good trees, Lehisnahis Bohen B'nei Adam, in order for people to have benefit from. But the Mishnah Berurah says quite clearly that Nisan is lav dafka, as long as you see the tree in bloom, that is okay. Says Rashi, lehisnois, lehonois, to benefit from. You want to hear a beautiful shaila? We once discussed this in a Friday morning share many years ago. So listen to this shaila. A little incident occurred, and there's been so much Torah written about this little incident. Once in every 28 years, we have the Birkas HaChama, which always falls out in the month of Nisan. So the story was told that the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that's the father of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Sheyarech Yomim V'Shonim, went out of his house to go and say Birkas HaChama. And all of a sudden, he saw a tree in bloom. So he had a shaila, which bracha should he say first? Should he say the Birkas HaIlonos first? Or should he say the Birkas HaChamo first? Now, what was the question? The question was as follows. We have a principle, Todir V'Sheinu Todir, Todir Koidem. So why was this such a wonderful shaila? Because on the one hand, what is more Todir? The Ilonos, you say once a year. But one moment. What bracha do you make on the sun? That particular text of bracha is more todir. You make Oysamasa Bereshis perhaps more than once a year. Every time it thunders, you say Oysamasa Bereshis. If you see the sea, you say Oysamasa Bereshis. So even though the obligation of Birkas HaChama only comes once in 28 years, so therefore it's less Todir than Birkas Veilonos, but the text of the Bracha is more Todir. So do you look at the reason behind the Chiv, or do you look at the text of the Bracha? So he turned round to his son, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and says, what do you do? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky on the spot says, I'm a furish araya from Rashi in Sukkah. Why? Because Rashi talks over there. Is it Gemara here? You see a sukkah?
Wait, beginning?
Yeah, sukkah anyway?
All right, which one is up?
The end.
Okay, I see one. There it is. Right in front of you. Yeah, the next one. There. You got it. No, the other one.
Thank you. So towards the end of the Masechta, there's a Gemara that we learned, Baruch Hashem together. It's a question with regard to the brachas of Shechiyonu. So Chaim Kanievsky on the spot says he has Mefurish Gemara with a Rashi. There is a discussion in Sukkah Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, which is Mamish, the last Daf of the Masechta. And it's talking about, you make a bracha when you come to make Kiddush in Sukkah. You've got to make a bracha on your Yain, on the Kiddush. And you've also got to make a bracha of Shechiyonu. You've also got to make a bracha of Leishiv Basukah. So the Gemara says, the discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says that the bracha of Zman, here, Sukkah v'achakach Zman, and some say no, Zman v'achakach Sukkah. Now, why would you think that Zman should come before Sukkah? So the Gemara says, because Todi v'sheinu Todi koidem.
Make Shechiyanu on many occasions.
Says Rashi, Zman shenoyeg b'chol haragolim. You make Shechiyanu every single Yom Tov. Whereas Leishei b'sukkah, you only say once on Sukkahs. So the question becomes, one second, even though it's true, the text of the bracha of Shechiyanu, you say every Yom Tov, but the obligation is different every time. One is Shavuos, one is Yom Kippur, one is Sukkot, one is Pesach, one is Rosh Hashanah. So why is that called Todi? It's five different Chiyuvim, and each one only comes once a year. So why is that called more often? Said Reb Chaim Kanievsky to his father, what do you see from here? That you don't look at the obligation, what do you look? At the text of the bracha. And at the end of the day, the text of the bracha, which is Shechiyanu, is recited more frequently. So he said to his father, if that's the case, so you should make Birkas HaChamo first. I only comes once in every 28 years, but the text of the bracha, which is Osa Ma'aseh Bereishis, comes more often. And I see from this Rashi that you don't look at the obligation, you look at the text of the bracha. An amazing proof. So we once gave a shir about this a number of years ago. It was the year when we were doing Birkas HaChamo. So we discussed then that in theory, maybe one could dispute this raya. Why? Because Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis that you make on the sun, even though it's the same text, there's a different Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis you make on the sea, which is a different Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis you make on thunder. Whereas over here, all the Shechiyanus, they're all on Shalosh Regalim. They're all on Yom Tov. So it's not so much a different obligation, it's the same obligation, Yom Tov. Every time Yom Tov comes, you make Shechiyanu. That happens with a different Yomim Tovim. But the reason why you're making Shechiyanu today is not because it's Pesach, it's because it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov comes a number of different times. So if maybe you don't have a proof that you look at the text, maybe you really look at the obligation which is called Yom Tov, does come more Todi. So maybe we could argue with the Rashi. But either way, that was Rucham Kanievsky's very big shaila. Well, the type plan is a lot of Torah that has been written about that story. Okay, back to our story. Says the Gemara, Omar Mazutra, we're on the sixth wide line. Omar Mazutra Batuvi Omar Rav. Minayin Shemavarchin al Areach. One second. How do you know that you have to make a bracha on the Reach in the first place? Maybe only on eating. So he says, because it says, Shenema, Koil and Shoma Tahalil Ko. Ezehu Dovo. What is that thing? Shehan Neshomo Nehenis Mimenu. That the Neshomo, the soul, can derive pleasure from. Ve'en Aguf Nehenem Mimenu. But the body does not derive pleasure. It can't be food, because if it's food, your body does derive pleasure. So what must we be talking about? Avioimer ze reyach. It must be talking about, this is a fragrant smell. So you see that you make a bracha, koila neshoma tahalil ko. The neshoma praises. In other words, when the neshoma has benefit. What does that mean, the neshoma has benefit? When you eat, the neshoma's not having benefit, the guf's having benefits. It's obviously not referring to oichel. Must be referring to Reach. Now, another statement, which has nothing to do with our sugya, but it's just also said in the name of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. And he said, V'omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Marav Asidim Bachurei Yisrael Sheyitnu Reach Toiv. The young men, Bachurim, of Klal Yisrael, Asidim, will in the future give out a smell like the forest of Levonim, Lebanon. Shenema Yelchu Yoin Koiso Vihi Kazayis Hoidoi V'Reach Loi Kalavonin. His young, that's the Yoin Koiso, shall go forth, and his beauty, the Hoid, shall be like the olive tree, and his aroma, whose aroma? These young people will be like the Levonin. Fine, we move on. Says the Gemara now, another statement in his name. V'omar av zutra batuv yomar av. Maidik siv. What does it mean? It's written in the Pasuk in Keheles. Es ha-koil osa yofa bi'itoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything beautiful in its time. What does that mean? Very, very interesting. Melamed. Shekol echod ve'echod yofa loy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu umnosoi befonov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everybody's umnus. What does umnus mean? His trade, his craft, his profession, beautiful in his eyes. What does that mean? So look at Rashi, incredible Rashi. Yofe loy umnusoi. We missed out a Rashi. Kalavonin shemerichin alov uprochov. The Levonin forest, the alov, the leaves, and the prochim smell, and that's what the Bachura Yisrael will smell like as well. Yofe loy umnusoi. Va'afilu bursi. Bursi is always, is the tanner. Bursi is always considered the most foul-smelling job, because you're working with leathers and has a terrible, terrible smell. So, l'chayra, you would think that the person who works there, he's obviously got to work there, that's his paranossa, but he's obviously not enjoying it for a moment, because it's a terrible smell. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done a tremendous chesed. Afilu bursi no eloi. It is considered pleasant umnusoi be'enov. His craftship, his work, is considered pleasant in his own eyes. Va'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu kein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately made the world in this way. That what? That the one who's dealing with these terrible, terrible smelled leathers, he nonetheless views his own work as very pleasant. He doesn't see or feel the unpleasantness. Why? Shelo yechsar ha'olam umnus, so that the world should never be lacking any craft. In other words, if people would only realize how foul the smell is of a bursi, then nobody would do it. And it's something that has to be done in the world. I always think to myself, you know, you see people riding at the back of a garbage truck. And, you know, we hold our nose, a terrible stench. What, they don't realize? So maybe this Gemara is telling us, they don't realize, they don't feel it. Baruch Hashem, they don't feel it. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great chesed, that he has created a world in which somebody can ride at the back of a garbage truck and not even detect the awful smell. Why? Because if he did, then nobody would empty the garbage and the world would look a terrible place. An amazing thing. Says the Gemara. Another statement. Omar Apopo, there's an explanation. Omar Apopo. Hainu da Omri Inshi. This is what people say. What we just discussed, that is reflected in what people say. Telele koire le dovor acher. What's dovor acher?
Korah.
What's the dovor acher? Chazir. We don't even want to say the word chazir, so the Gemara calls it a dovor acher, something else. A dovor acher is a chazir. If you hang a koirah, koirah, Rashi says, is rach hagodel bedekel, a young
palm.
Soft palm.
You learn that from the
episode. Right. Tola oisoi lechazir. If you hang that round the neck of a chazir, now why are you hanging it round the neck of the chazir? You don't want to put it on the floor. It'll get dirty. So you hang it round his neck that it should remain clean. And guess what he does, says Rashi? Yigalgalenu. And he will roll it ba'ashpa in the garbage dump. Why? Again, shezuhi umnosei, because that's his craft. The chazir is, as it were, also oblivious to the fact that when rolling around in the dirt, everything gets dirty and becomes extremely unpleasant. No, he doesn't notice. Says Rapapa, that's exactly what's going on. You can hang this wonderful, lovely, clean plant round his neck. You've deliberately done that. Why? In order that it should stay clean. And guess what? The next thing you know, he's rolling around in the garbage dump. Doesn't he see that it's becoming all caked in mud and dirt? No, because that's his umnus. That is the Chazir's umnus. The Chazir's umnus is to roll around in dirt, and therefore he is blissfully unaware of really how unclean and unpleasant it really is. So that's what it means. Look at the Gemara again. Hainu da'amri inshi, tolo le koiro le dover acher. If you hang a koiro round the neck of a chazir, the ihu, and he, that's the chazir, didei ovid, will do his thing. What does that mean, he will do his thing? He'll roll around. Why? Because that's his thing. That's his thing.
The koiro wasn't hung there for purposes of eating, so he could eat.
I think so.
Did he eat it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. On the neck of a pig for him to eat in cleanliness. You know, I'm just reminded. Chaim Shmulevitz was once walking down the street and he saw a garbage truck. It was a beautiful little vignette. He saw a garbage truck. Now, how does it work? There's always one guy who's driving the truck. And there's one or two at the back who are the schleppers. They're the ones who have to empty the garbage and throw it in and hang on at the back for dear life. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, this caught his attention, and he was watching the scene unfold in front of his eyes. The guy drives the truck. These two people are perched at the back. He stops the truck. They jump off. They've got to drag the garbage out, throw it in the back of the truck, fill the bag again. They jump on the back of the truck and off they go. So one of the people emptying the garbage noticed that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was watching, surveying the scene. So he approached Reb Chaim and he said to him, he said, you know, it's true that at the moment I'm the one at the back emptying the garbage and I'm not driving the truck, but actually we take turns. So when we go around the corner, it's going to be my shift. I'm going to be the one sitting in the front. And I'm going to be driving the truck, and the guy who's driving the truck, he's going to be at the back, emptying the garbage. And that's the end of the story. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Kedarka Bakoidesh, he gave a whole shmuz on this, how you see how every single person, no matter what they're doing, needs to feel good about themselves. What was he proudly telling Reb Chaim Shmulevitz? Don't think I'm just the schlepper at the back of the garbage truck. No. Round the corner, I get a major promotion. I actually drive the garbage truck. It's also not the most prestigious position in the world. But he clearly felt, you know, I've reached the top of the tree. I don't just schlep garbage out of the garbage can. I actually drive the truck. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, you know, this is a very important feeling that a person has to feel good about himself. So even though this fellow realized that, you know, emptying the garbage is perhaps not the most prestigious job, but don't think that that's all I do in life. I actually drive the garbage truck as well. Around the corner, it'll be my turn. Okay, Zot the Gemara, another statement now, in the name of Rav Zutra Batoivio. Now, in order to understand this statement, you have to go all the way to the bottom of the Amud and look at the second very wide line. The second very wide line, and it says there, Va'al yetze yechidi balayla. A person should not
go out by himself.
Go out at night. Well, in fact, it's a little bit earlier than that as well. If you look four lines from the end of the narrow lines, or at least the medium lines, it says, again there, the Talmud Chacham, Al Yetze Yechidi Balaylo, do not go out at night. Should not go out at night. Now, why should you not go out at night? So we'll see there's different pshatim. One of the pshatim is because we're concerned that there will be shadim, there will be mazikim, there could be some damage which is inflicted onto him. So now we are referring now to that statement. Says the Gemara, it's rather cryptic. Avuka kishnai. What's an avuka?
Torch.
A torch. If he's holding a torch, which means he's not technically speaking by himself, he's being accompanied by the torch, then kishnayim, that's as good as two. V'yoreach, and if there is the moon there, then what?
Three.
Then it's like three. That's all very vague. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Says Rashi first. Avuka kishnei bnei adam. Says Rashi. Le'inyan hayetze belaila. This is with regard to going out at night. To Omar Mar, as we're going to see later on, it says, quote unquote, al yetze adam yichidi belaila. So now, for some reason, we are preempting the explanation. Says Rashi, v'yoreach kishloisho, v'yesh chiluk ben shnayim l'shloisho. There's going to be a difference between 2 and 3, because come on, as will be explained. What's Rashi coming to answer over here? Remember, we always say, when Rashi refers you to a later Gemara, like over here, Kedala Kamon, Rashi's alluding to an obvious question. What's the obvious question that Rashi's alluding to? L'choira, the obvious question is as follows. If you tell me, do not go out at night alone. Okay, so you mustn't be alone. And if you're not alone, then it's okay. So once you're not alone, who in the world cares whether you're not alone because you are with two, or you're with three, or you're with 100, or you're with 1,000,000? You're not alone. So why is the Gemara telling us that what? The Navuka is Kishnayim, and Yoreach is Kishloisha. Who in the world cares? As long as you're not alone.
Makes a difference.
Says Rashi, v'yesh chiluk, it does make a difference. Bein shnayim l'shloisha, kudzala kamon. I don't need to get into details yet, says Rashi. Good question. But l'chor, that's what Rashi's coming to answer. Otherwise the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Don't go out alone. This is like two, this is like three. What's the difference how many people you are? As long as you're not alone. Says Rashi, no, we'll see there are differences. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. Iboy Elohu. So they ask the following question. What does that mean? Avuka kishnayim. We said that if you go out, very strange Gemara, and obviously it's very difficult to try and suggest any pshat when you're dealing with mysterious things like mazikin. But the Gemara says if you go out with an avuka, then you're okay. It's kishnayim. What does that mean, kishnayim? Does that mean kishnayim behodi d'day? What does behodi mean?
With it.
With him.
And with it.
No, it's the other way around, right?
Diday with him.
Diday is with him. Bahadi is with.
With.
Bahadi is.
Bahadi is with.
With it.
No, not with. No, Bahadi is with. Translation of Bahadi is with.
Oh.
Diday with him. Yeah. What do you mean it's like two? Two including the holder? Which means the torch is just in place of one person.
Right.
So it's me, right. One person, plus the torch. Do you mean to say it's two with him? Or perhaps avuka kishnayim lebar mididay, besides for him, which means really the torch has for some reason the value of
two
people, and therefore it's as if you're all together three. So what do you mean the torch is two? Two including me or excluding me? Says the Gemara, well, we can try and prove this. Toshma v'yoreach kishloisha. We said in the same sentence that what? That if you go out with a torch, that's like two. And we said if you go out with a moon, in moonlight, that's like three. Now, let's work it out. E omrat bishloima. If you say that what? That bahodi d'day. That when we give these numbers, we always mean including him. So then, shapir. Then it makes a lot of sense. What does it mean makes a lot of sense? That means the torch is like two, including you. The moon is like three, including you. So if all of these numbers are including the walker, then it makes sense. Okay, why would it not make sense if it's excluding you? Says the Gemara. However, Elo I Omrit, but if you say Labar Mididei, if you say it is excluding him, so now what does that mean? A torch is like two, which means it's three altogether. A moon is like three, which means it's
four
altogether. Says the Gemara, that can't make sense anymore. Really, why not? Because Arbo'o Lomoli. Why would you need four? There's no Maila in four. There is a Maila in three. Do you know why? Because V'ho'omar Mar, because we were once taught that Le'echot, if one person is walking alone by himself, Nire Umazik. What does that mean, Nire Umazik?
It appears.
This shade, this demon, it would appear, number one, and it inflicts damage as well. That's why we say don't walk by yourself. Okay, stage by stage. If, however, you are Lishnayim, then Nira. It will appear, but Ve'eino Mazik. But Lishloisha, Eino Nira Kolika. It doesn't appear at all. So there is certain Samaila, there is Samaila in 3 over 2. For some reason, 2, it does appear, but it doesn't damage. And 3, it doesn't appear at all.
2, it scares you.
So maybe it scares you, but it doesn't actually do anything. And 3 is the best of all. But 4, there's no Maila whatsoever. So how can you possibly suggest that these numbers are excluding the walker? Then you're telling me a torch is like 3 and the moon is 4. Who needs 4? The best you can possibly get or that you need is 3. El Olav, so it must be Shma Minos. What do I hear from that? It must be that Avuka is Kishnaim Bahodididei. It's 2, including him. Shma Minos says the Gemara, yes, you're 100% right. A little bit tricky to...
Took us a while.
Suggest. To be perfectly honest, I didn't understand this either. That's why we looked in the article. I didn't understand what was going on.
Rabbi asked. But at the end of the day, there's no real difference between 2 and 3.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is with regard to damage.
Nearer.
So for some reason, there's some Maila. That's what Rashi was referring to before, by the way. When Rashi says, V'yesh chiluk, that's what we say. There is a chiluk. I don't ask your local rabbi what the difference is Nire Umazik or Nire Ve'eino Mazik, but there is a Maila. But 4, there's no Maila whatsoever. That's definitely out. That's definitely out. Okay, another statement in the name of Rav Zutra. This is already the 4th or the 5th. V'omar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia, Omar Rav, V'omri Le'ei, Omar Rav Chanar bar Bizna, Omar Rav Shimon Chasida, V'omri Le'ei, Omar Rav Yechim, Shom Rav Shimon ben Yechai. This is various versions of who actually authored this statement, but what was said? It is better that a person should throw himself into the furnace rather than
embarrass
your friend in public. Minolon, where do I learn this from? Mitomar. She was prepared to throw herself in the fire so as not to embarrass Yehuda. So look at Rashi. Maybe we missed out on Rashi actually. She didn't want to say clearly, Behedya means clearly. She didn't want to say clearly, Eilu hasimonim shel Yehuda heim. Right? She could have really exposed Yehuda by saying straight out, excuse me, this stick, remember the story? This stick and this purse, it all belongs to Yehuda. Veloi anihora, and I've become pregnant from him. That's what she could have said. Rather, what did she say? She said, le-ish. She didn't say, this is from Yehuda. She said, to whichever man asher eileloi, whichever man owns these items, Anoichi Hora, I become pregnant through him. Im Yoida, Yoida. So if he admits, he admits. V'im Lav, Asaref. And if not, I'll become burned. But, V'loy Albin Pono, but I will not embarrass him. So you learn over here that what? that it's better to be cast into the fire rather than embarrassing somebody else. Now, there is a lot of discussion about this. Maybe we'll just spend a moment or two, and with this we'll finish. There is a machlokes rishonim. Is this Gemara to be taken literally or not? Halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, does this Gemara literally mean that you should sooner kill yourself rather than embarrassing somebody else? That's definitely the translation of the words. But if you look very carefully, the Lashon of the Gemara was noyach loy. What does noyach loy mean?
Comfortable.
No. It's better, it's more comfortable. Why didn't it say chayv? It's a little bit of a power of expression. So some Rishonim, the Meiri says it clearly, and some want to suggest the Rambam also holds this way, that the Gemara does not mean to suggest that it is literally you have to do it. However, do you know what Rabbeinu Yehuda says in Shari Tshuva? Rabbeinu Yehuda says, embarrassing somebody is literally tantamount to killing them. Why? Because when you embarrass somebody, you draw all the blood from their face. In fact, that's why it's called halbonas pnei pechaveri. What does halbonas mean from the word lovon? Yeah. Just like when you kill somebody, you are drawing their blood. That's what you're doing when you are shaming them. So you see from Rabbeinu Yehuda that it's not just figurative, it's literal. Now listen to this. Tosfos in Sota asks the following question. We know that on occasion we have the principle called Yehoreg Va'al Yavar. When do we say Yehoreg Va'al Yavar? The three cardinal sins, which are Shvichas Domim, Gilui Aroyes, and Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos asks a question then, why don't we say that there is really a fourth one on the list? And what is that?
Embarrassing.
That's Tosfos Kasha. So what do you see from Tosfos Kasha? That he took it literally. It's not figurative, it's literal. You literally have to kill yourself. And by the way, do you know what the Rishonim answer? Why indeed is it not mentioned as a fourth one in the list? So that we go back to Rabbeinu Yehuda. Rabbeinu Yehuda says you don't need to mention it as a fourth one. Why not? Because it's all part and parcel of Shvichas Domim. It's a type of murder, it's a form of murder. So now listen to this, you're going to fall off your chairs. What happens if on Shabbos morning I approach you and I say to you, I happen to know that on the other side of town, Reuven is in the process of shaming Shimon. Do you jump in a car to prevent it? Koach nefesh. If I would tell you that Reuven is about to kill Shimon, you obviously jump in the car, pikuach nefesh, deicha Shabbos. So if you tell me that embarrassing somebody is literally pikuach nefesh, so maybe Shimon chal Shabbos. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Neubach has a tshuva. Again, it sounds so incredulous, but one second, why not? Imagine you see Reuven with a gun running after Shimon in order to kill him. What's the halacha? You have to kill Reuven. What's that called? Roidev. He's Roidev Shimon. If I see Reuven without a gun, but he's running after Shimon in order to embarrass him, do I also kill Reuven? Pekuach nefesh. If you tell me that it's part of Shvichas Domim, so it's literally like killing, so you can machal on Shabbos to prevent it, you can even kill the perpetrator to prevent it. How far do we take this? Food for thought. Either way, best not to embarrass anybody. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story, and with this we'll finish, that happened in Gate City Yeshiva. When I was in Gate City Yeshiva, there was a bocha called... I told you the story? I tell you the story?
Yeah. About the Rosh Yeshiva. Yes. Knocking on the door, he went into...
Yes. I told you the story once?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Did I tell you the story, Rosh Zalik?
I think so.
Alex Hull was my roommate in Yeshiva. He was the best bocha in Gate City Yeshiva. He was such a good bacha. Oh,
yeah.
That people used to drive him crazy, all of Seder, asking him questions he couldn't learn. So one day Seder had enough. He needed a bit of time to learn by himself. So he went, he locked himself in the Oitzah HaSfarim, get a piece of quiet until there's a knock on the door. He said, who is it? He said, oh, this is the Rosh Hashira of Avraham Gurovitz. And he thought that it was just a bacha imitating. He said, ha ha ha, very funny. Good joke, good impersonation, leave me alone. And it was Avraham. Avraham knocked on the door. He said, look, this is Avraham Gurovitz. Huh? And eventually he realized that maybe it is the Rosh Hashiva, horror of horrors. Well, now what does he do? He's got no choice. He opens the door and he saw Rabbi Avraham Gurovitz was standing there with his hands covering his eyes, waving the bacha out of the Yotze. Beautiful sensitivity. In other words, he realized that it really was not the bacha's fault. And yet this bacha would be terribly, terribly, terribly embarrassed. So the Rosh Hashiva never saw who it was. But I'll tell you the follow-up line to that. So when his bacha left the yeshiva at his farewell party, Avraham Gurovitz was there, and he said, the Rosh Hashiva is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He knows everything, but there's one thing that he doesn't know and I do know. I just want to tell you the story. I was that bacha and I asked for mechila. That's the sensitivity that Rosh Hashiva shows, Chas v'Shalom, not to embarrass somebody, even though it was no fault of his own on either part. And in fact, Avraham, as it were, wasn't embarrassing this bacha. Just the bacha would have become embarrassed. Avraham wasn't being malbim, panei chaveri barabim in any which way. There was a great tzaddik and huge, huge, huge Talmud Chacham in this country. He was a cousin of my grandmother. Passed away 3 or 4 years ago. A phenomenal Talmud Chacham. His name is Rabbi Avraham Genachovsky. Part of his genius was how he managed to cover up and keep it all so quiet. But after he passed away, they've discovered tens and tens of Sfarim that he wrote, kept it all quiet, and lots of books been written about him. He was a genius, not only in Torah, but in Midas as well. I mean, there are so many stories. So listen to this. It's not just sensitivity, it's also literally genius on how to save somebody's embarrassment. He had a Talmud who had emotional issues. He had a mental condition. Did I tell you this? So he had to take, this bacha had to go to a psychologist or psychiatrist. So the Rosh Hashiva, Avraham Genachovsky, went with him to accompany him. He figured, you know, it's very awkward to go to, you know, especially for a bacha who is seen in a place like this, you know, it could affect his whole shidduchim possibilities. So the Rosh Hashiva accompanied him to the doctor. And horror of horrors, when they got there, they saw another bacha there. So Avraham realized it would be terribly embarrassing. So Avraham, on the spot, went to this other bacha and said to me, do me a favor, please. Please don't tell anybody that you saw me here. Please don't tell anybody. In other words, as if I'm the one who's supposed to be here and this bacha is accompanying me. How he thought of that on the spot. So as not to embarrass somebody. Avraham. There's a photo, I've seen the photo. There's a photograph of a Avraham Genachovsky standing on a ladder. Imagine Rosh Hashiva standing on a ladder up to about the second or third floor of a building, just standing and standing and standing there. Turns out the story was Avraham Genachovsky was walking down the street one night and he heard like a young boy crying. He looked around and he heard the voice coming up from there. From this window, and it turns out this boy was at home, he locked at home, and his parents had gone out, I don't know, forgotten him or hadn't come back, and he was terribly scared. But Avraham Genachovsky couldn't get in the house though to try and keep him company. So Avraham took a ladder and stood by the window for an hour schmoozing to him. There's many, many stories about him. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Be'ez Hashem will continue on.